Blog Talk Radio.
It's another beautiful day on Brown Sugar Radio. Get ready to ignite a passion and purpose of overflow. Cherish the value of being you and nurture your soul. Handle your business like a boss and take full control. I invite you to engage upon a journey of greatness and use the gifts within that God has made. This is the time to win and not to lose. So sit back, relax, and take off the blues. Get ready for another exciting segment here on the hottest urban show on the internet. It's Brown Sugar Radio.
Welcome back, welcome back. Oh, I'm so excited to have my loyal listeners, I want to say in the building. So we're going to say in the virtual building today. It is Lifestyle and Abundance Coach Kim Bullock-Hennix. Really excited to share with you today with my special guest, Dr. Sherman Urquhart, 8 ways to serve abundantly in leadership. And so, Dr. Sherman, welcome back to Brown Sugar Radio.
How you doing? Thank you for having me. It's good to be here.
You got to have a virtual applause going. You stepped in the virtual building.
Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate it. I appreciate the love.
Yes. All right. And so we're really excited because today is just going to be totally amazing as we speak about how to serve as a leader, as an entrepreneur, especially if you are leading in your industry. Rather you recognize it or not, people are watching you. People are looking at how are you handling your business. And so today, we want to make sure that we elevate you in the mindset realm of what you can do to not just be a good leader, but an extraordinary leader. All right? And it really takes someone that is skilled at their craft, because leadership, definitely some are natural-born leaders, and we get that. However, the difference between the good and the great are those who take that extra step to apply, you know, the skills and the tools that they learn. And so really excited today because as an abundant leader, that means creating meaningful experiences with your followers, with your tribe. And so we're going to talk about 8 steps, and I want to kick it off today because, get this, I don't know if many of you knew this, June is the month for effective communication. And as a leader, you have to have effective communication if you want to make sure you make a huge difference, to be able to pass on your legacy. And so, yes, just really excited. And definitely, Dr. Sherman, we appreciate your time today because we know you are a busy man. But thank you for taking the time to do this because this is your area of expertise. Really looking forward to what you have to share with our listeners today.
Definitely. I really appreciate the opportunity. You know, like you said before, leadership qualities, some people are definitely born with them, but you can also definitely learn those skills and hone those skills over a period of time, too, so that, you know, you can be effective in leadership at your job, in the community, in your household. This can be men, women, children. There's all sorts of ways where you can, you know, show your leadership and communicate effectively and lead people and empower people. So, you know, sadly, a lot of people don't step into that role because they're fearful. Maybe they might not do a good job. People might not listen to them. But there's always ways where you can improve your leadership skills and step into that role anytime you get ready to.
Absolutely, yes. And so this is what we're going to talk about today. And I want for everyone that's listening either via chat or Facebook, make sure you get your pens and your papers ready because we do have some really, really awesome tips we want to provide. And so with the very first step, I want to share with you that you must recognize the power of your abundant thoughts. Let me tell you, 80% of your success, it relies on your mindset. Only 20% of it is skill set. And so it doesn't matter how much education you have. It doesn't matter if you, you know, signed up no many certifications, no many how many licenses you have. if you do not have the mindset of an abundant leader, you've already killed 80% of your success. So the first thing that I'd like for you to do is to, if you're having any thoughts of lack, any thoughts of struggle, any thoughts of scarcity, I want for you to transition your thoughts with daily practices, because your habits become definitely a stem of what your thoughts are, right? And then your habits become your lifestyle. And so I know you're thinking, well, okay, well, how do I do that? You know, what is it that I need to do if I'm struggling in that area? First thing I want you to do is look at, what do you think when it comes to being a leader? Do you think large? Do you think so big that it scares you? Because if you don't have butterflies when you're thinking of your goals and you're thinking of your tribe and you're thinking of leading in excellence, it's not big enough. It's simply not big enough. You need to dream so big that you give God room enough to fill that dream, to fill your destiny. Those of you who are spiritual, I'm going to share with you step two. Pray big. First, so number one, believe big. Number two, pray big. Pray bigger than you've ever imagined. I remember when, and I don't know if you remember this or not, Dr. Sherman, remember the prayer of Jabez, when that was real popular a few years ago?
Yes.
And I still pray that today, yes, and I still, you know, ask God to enlarge my territory. You know, and that's what we have to do as leaders when we really want to make a huge difference in our lives. You have to be able to ask God to enlarge your territory. Oh, Lord, bless me indeed. Jabez prayed a big prayer because he knew that his name at the time meant sorrow and sadness, and his mother birthed him into sorrow and sadness. So therefore, he wanted to change that. I don't want to bring no more pain, God. I don't want to bring no more hurt or devastation. Bless me indeed so that I can make a difference in the world today according to your glory, your honor. And number three, step three from my first point, you have to surrender. It's when you surrender and when you say, okay, God, I no longer am in charge. I need you to be the pilot, and I'm the co-pilot. Because his ways are always, and you know, come on, those of you who are my followers, what I'm about to say, his ways are always higher than our ways. His thoughts are always higher than our thoughts. Surrender and give it wholeheartedly to God, whatever it is that you desire in your industry. And if you want to be one of the, I'd like to say, A-listers or the prestigious, you know, leading in your industry, one of the top executives, one of the top, you know, coaches, authors, whatever it is that you know that you were divinely created to do, there has to come a process of surrendering. Now, I'm going to be honest. Sometimes it's not always easy. Actually, let me be clear. A lot of times it's not easy. We want what we want, and that's just the flesh. There's times where we feel like, man, I think this is what I want. I think this is where I need to go. I think this is the direction I'm headed. But do we go to God first before we make decisions? A leader that prays, a leader that thinks big, and a leader that surrenders is headed toward their ultimate destiny. So at this time, we're going to go ahead and let Dr. Sherman share his first point, and then we'll be back with some more, I like to say, juiciness for our leaders, helping you to get to that next level of excellence.
Yeah, honing in your abundant thought, because like you said, a lot of people don't even realize what they deserve. They don't even realize the power that they have through their words, through their actions to achieve those things. So actually realizing those things, like you said, is half the battle. When you know you can achieve those things, that's half the battle right there. I want to start with, you know, if you're leading, you know, I come from more of a sort of a corporate type of background where I speak with organizations and students in schools. I'm going to speak to a school here in a couple of weeks, and we're going to talk about leadership. But the people who are following you, the people who are looking up to you, empowering them. I like to talk about the DEM method, where you develop others, you empower others, and you motivate others to be able to operate under their own steam and to become leaders themselves. So empowering those that you're following, those who are looking up to you, first and foremost, after you, you know, model the type of behavior that you expect from those you are in charge of, everybody can be on the same page much easier and much quicker. But making sure that you are caring for and supporting your team members, your employees, whoever it is that you are leading, your congregation, if you're, you know, a person of the cloth, making sure that they have the confidence and the motivation, you know, and the intrinsic motivation. They have to want to do it themselves. If they don't have that trait, it's your job to instill it in them, make them. And the same thing we do with our kids through school. We have to give them a comfortable setting so that they can, their intrinsic motivation can kick in, and they'll want to be successful on their own. So making sure that your, you know, people who you are tasked to lead have the motivation and the empowerment to tap into their own leadership skills, become leaders themselves.
I'm sorry, I was still on mute. Can you hear me? Hello?
I can hear you okay. Now. Yeah, I couldn't hear you at first. We can hear you now.
Wait a minute. Okay.
He was on mute.
Yeah, so I was like, yeah, yeah. And I was like, oh, gosh, he didn't hear nothing I said. Yes, so definitely I agree with that. I'm 100%. It's really important, you know, because if we don't follow that guideline and use that acronym that you shared, I'd love for you to elaborate a little bit more on what does that mean for anyone who's not familiar with that system.
So DEM method, where it's how you guide you, the people that you lead. You develop them first, but you know, giving them support that they need as they learn the skills that are required to complete whatever task or project you're working on. Also empowering them, making them feel included, part of the team, that their voice matters, and we care about their input, and then motivating them with that basis to be able to lead on their own and realize their own potential and be more confident, you know, as you go through the process of whatever it is you're trying to accomplish that project.
Beautiful. Love that. Thank you so much for sharing that. In case anyone in the chat or anyone that's listening, like I said, via Facebook, you know, needed more clarification on that. And so, yes, that's definitely something. Mm-hmm, yeah, we have to make sure that, you know, we are connecting with our followers that way. And so for step two, I'd like to share that's really important as a leader is develop your emotional intelligence. Develop your emotional intelligence with mastery sessions. And so every leader has to be a student of success first before they, as you're growing and you're at certain levels. Even though I've hit certain levels in my business, I'm still learning. I'm still growing. And what I love it because Dr. Sherrill taught us that what's not growing is dying. What's not growing is dying. So you have to constantly, you know, have mastery sessions. And the reason I call it mastery, because as a leader, you should not be executing at an entry level. You know, you've now invested enough in yourself to where you've developed the following and you've mastered the skill in your industry. You've mastered the skill leading others and pulling your tribe or your team. And so emotional intelligence, let's really take a look at that. Emotional intelligence refers to the ability to identify and manage one's own emotions, right, as well as others. That's the key, not just your own, but how as a leader are you showing up, okay? There's different types of problem-solving skills that we use depending on, you know, your personality, depending on what you learned, whether in school or experience. How do you manage that? How do you manage the roots of your emotional intelligence? And so the theory of emotional intelligence was actually introduced by Peter Salvari, and I probably butchered that, but it's Salovey, and John Mayer in the 1990s, okay? Look, y'all can Google this yourself because I know I probably caught that name up. But it's really about the IQ of how you handle your emotions and how do you, when life hits, you know, it's the true power that you possess as a leader, knowing that, hey, even though I may be faced with adversity and frustrations or sadness, I understand that my emotions at that time, I have to be able to control that. I have to have a high level of, you know, confidence, and I still have to be able to execute in spite of the adversity that I'm facing. Now, one commonality that Dr. Sherman and I both share is that we're both widows. And so we went through, I would say, traumas that the average person would not face. We had to learn how to maneuver through life, how to, and we're still a work in process. Let me keep it real, okay? We haven't arrived. No, success is a journey. But in the midst of that adversity, and I know you feel me on this, Dr. Sherman, that we had to have some type of emotional intelligence when we were dealing with still leading our tribe. Like, we couldn't just snap our fingers and disappear, right? We still had followings. We still had clients. We still have a business to run, you know, and children to raise. Okay,
right.
Look, if that in itself, you need emotional intelligence. I'm hurting. My child is hurting, but my child is looking up to me for help. Right? What do we do? How do you face that? It is through emotional intelligence, learning when to speak, learning when to be silent, learning when to pray. I don't know if you heard this or not, Dr. Sherman. There was a quote. It said, talk less and pray more.
I like that.
That is a sign of emotional intelligence. We don't have to speak on everything. Now, there's some topics I'm sure we may be passionate about. I try to stay away from politics and things of that nature. But there's sometimes, as a leader, we have to have emotional intelligence, learning, okay, how do I handle this with class? I love it when Michelle Obama said, when they go low, we go high. And I said the ultimate example for me was Barack and Michelle Obama, even though they were attacked, even though they were, you know, talked about. And people just, you know, did things and said things that weren't true about them, scrutinized in the public. They still kept it classy, and they knew how to handle themselves with emotional intelligence. Now, we have the choice to decide when you are in the public eye, how are you going to handle different situations, and not only, like I said, for your own. I knew I had a tribe of ambitious women who are still looking up to me, who are still counting on me. In the midst of my adversity and my trials and tribulations, I wanted to go tuck and hide somewhere. But I understood the calling on my life, and I knew I had to still show up. But you know what I did? I made it a point to show up authentically, to show up and be transparent with my emotions and how I was feeling at that time. And, yes, there's days, you know, you go through the five stages of grieving, you know, and you're faced with different things. But I had to depend on, okay, this is my make it or break it moment. And I've learned 90% of life is how we choose to respond to it. 10% is what happens to us. Dr. Sherman, I know you have another point on emotional intelligence. Please chime in on that with your second point. Oh, are you on mute?
Can you hear me?
I guess you did one of my numbers.
Yeah.
Okay, I can hear you now. That mute button, boy. Okay, go ahead. I can hear you now.
Definitely emotional intelligence is important. You mentioned raising kids earlier. I've got a six-year-old. You'll be surprised at how often you have to adapt and you have to change and you have to, you know, you have to be socially, emotionally intelligent to deal with children in the first place. So, you know, shout outs and kudos to all the teachers out there. I was a teacher for some years, especially young children in elementary school. So just dealing with my daughter has been very enlightening as far as when you think you have things under control as far as the way you carry yourself or the way that you present to a child. it will show you really
right.
quick. No,
yep.
I want to do it this way. I want that. I don't care if you say no, I'm going to ask you again. I don't care if you're on the phone. I'm going to just talk all over you. I don't care if you're talking to somebody. You know. So it's that sort of thing. So having, you know, that good foundation of emotional intelligence will keep you, you know,
keep your head cool. Because a lot of times dealing with children, your frustration can become their entertainment if you're not careful. So having that emotional intelligence is very important, not when, just when you're dealing with children, but dealing with people who have different views than you, you know, or different ideas about which direction you should go in or what the project should go in. So it's definitely important to have that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And so I love that. And, you know, it's something with, it's a dual duty, right, as a businessman and a parent, you know, and just having the wisdom on when to execute that, you know, when to use certain types of emotions for different areas of our life. And so I love that, what you just mentioned.
Right.
And, absolutely. Yep, yep. All right, and so.
Especially now with way society is, there's so many things that can get you, there's so much tension now. There's so many things that can get you riled up and get you hurt and get you angry and all. Look, turn on the news. I mean, there's every day is something that's just emotionally draining. So, you know, you have to be, you have to expect these things and sort of be prepared for them.
It's crazy, but you are so right, you know, and just constantly when you turn on the news, it's always something, you know, shooting here, you know, this getting blown up here, this, that, and it's just too, it's at the point where I try to tune that out because it just is at times for me toxic, you know, and I got to, that's another part though, of being emotional intelligent, knowing how much social media to absorb in, how much news and television to absorb in, your eyes, your ears, those are all of your gates. Right, to your soul and to your mind, and I'm very cautious what I allow in. You know, very cautious what I allow in to mind, what I allow in my spirit. Let me say another form of emotional intelligence is who you let in your house. That's a whole other topic. But you have to be very selective who you allow in your home. What type of influences? You know, do they have upon you or will they bring on you? All right, those are all things definitely that we need to think of as leaders. So, which brings me to my next point. Number three, cultivate a winning team or tribe with authentic connections. And when I said authentic, I've seen plenty of celebrities and reality star TV performers is what I like to call them. Show a side of them, and they're cultivating a large tribe, okay? And they're, you know, building, but then they pull a Milli Vanilli on us. We find out that's not really who they are. That's not really what they said they were to be. And you see sides of their life that don't reflect what it is that they were portraying. And so for me, I made it a very, very clear decision. I need to lead with authenticity. I want to make sure that when my tribe sees me, they know that's who she really is. I'm the same person on the stage, on the show, off the show. What you see is what you get. The life I show, if I can't be that same person when you meet me face to face, you're not going to see that portrayed on my pages, any of my social media, or any of my websites, and definitely not on stage because then it becomes a performance. Instead of you being a servant. The ultimate goal for a leader is to serve, to be able to make a difference in humanity and to change and transform lives for the better and definitely not for the worse. Having that connection, being able to cultivate a large following or a tribe is a responsibility. And I think about Dr. Sherman and that quote that Spider-Man said, with great power comes great responsibility. And that is so true. Yeah, you heard that before, right? With great power comes great responsibility. And even in the word, it talks about God will give you faithful over a little before he'll make you faithful over much. How are you handling cultivating that tribe? How are you handling the tribe once you get the tribe? We have to have a social responsibility what we pour into the lives of others. And I don't care if it's just a photo on your social media, you're doing a live, what's in your email, your newsletter, what are you sharing on stage. There is a social responsibility we have to build authentically. Because I'm going to tell you something, what's done in the dark will show in the light. And don't be exposed like Milli Vanilli, okay? Don't be exposed. Be genuine. Be genuine.
They'll never live that down, huh?
They'll never live it down. And this is what, 30-some-odd years later? We still talking about it. Be the real McCoy. Be the real thing, because people will see through your mess. It's time out on perpetrating something that you're not. Be real. Be authentic. Because time will certainly tell. And definitely, like I said, people don't want to follow somebody that's phony. This is why, and then I'm going to let you get into your next point. Soap operas declined in views. Reality shows took off. Why? Because people want what's real. You know, this time out on all that drama. We want to see real life. And I'm going to be honest, I think majority of the reality that they claim is reality, that's probably scripted too, but it felt real when it first came out. You know, we want something that's relatable. This is why they have an average person. Matter of fact, Sonya Redd, who was just on Brown Sugar Radio a while back, a few shows ago, 1 million, she's a TikTok star, 1 million followers. But the reason she built her tribe so fast is because she engages with her audience and she's real. That's why you can see people take off overnight and be a YouTube or TikTok star, because people want what's real. So, Dr. Sherman, definitely share with us your thoughts on your third point.
Yeah, people definitely want real experience now. I wanted to quickly go over problem-solving skills, and not simply 2 + 2 = 4, but more so, you know, in the midst of, you know, a program or plan or something that you're strategizing on and working on, you might not have all the answers. That's another reason why some people are scared to step into a leadership role, because they think you have to automatically be an expert at everything. No, not necessarily. It's the idea of, like we talked about the DEM method before, empowering your followers and your employees, the people you are in charge of leading. Asking selective and thoughtful questions to help them. So like the Craig method, where you help folks realize their own potential by asking thoughtful questions that will allow them to think and come up with emotionally, talk about that before, emotionally intelligent ideas. They will realize, you know, they knew all along. Well, they had the power all along and just didn't know how to tap into it. So problem-solving skills, and when things come up that you don't know, as a leader you're unsure of, it's okay to say, I don't know, but I'll find out for you. You know, I'll run the data, I'll do the research, whatever it takes. I'll find out for you. We can find out together. But not just giving up because you simply don't know anything, and not just not trying at all because you're scared you're not going to know enough to be able to lead folks, because somebody might ask you a question you don't know the answer to. Because of that, people shy away from that, shy away from those roles. So you find out, or you be comfortable with saying, I don't know that right now. I can't call that right now, but I'll find out for you and get right back to you. So I think having the courage to do that and having the confidence in your own abilities to, if you can't find the answers, then you help your people that you're in charge of leading find the answers on their own. You work together as a team. But you're always on top of making sure that they are empowered.
Love it. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's a really important step, because if they leave away feeling deflated, you know, you're not going to have a very productive team or supportive following. And so what you said there is so important, you know. And you said, also mentioned you taught, was it elementary school? What grade did you teach as a teacher?
I've done K-12. I started at the undergrad in middle school, 6th and 7th and 8th grade, English and reading. Then I went to high school, taught English, and did some tutoring And for a while, I was a librarian in an elementary school.
Do you like reading?
Yeah, so the kids would come in, and you know, different grade, you know, K through five, the kindergartners would come in, and you know, it's funny. You had to, you have to give librarians credit, or you know, teachers who teach all levels or teach different levels at the same time. You have different levels coming at the same time, in the same year, because you have to adapt to those different ages on the spot.
Wow.
Yeah, that takes skill. So I don't think teachers who are in that sort of I don't think teachers get the recognition and the credit and the income that they deserve anyway. We already know that.
Yeah.
Something's got to be done about that. I have some more information on that. I'm starting a program that's going to be, you know, empowering for teachers worldwide. We'll talk more about that later. But anyway, I don't think teachers get enough credit for being emotionally intelligent to be able to handle these personalities at different levels at different ages. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's important that you know, you're able to do that, because it's the same way if you're leading adults. Sometimes it feels like you're leading children.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially if it's folks who don't know their own potential, for one, like a child might not know his own potential, or fearful about or lack confidence or lack self esteem. It's a lot of adults out here who in that situation. So, you know, as a leader, you have to be careful with people's personalities and people's feelings, and like we said before, making sure everybody feels included. But to answer your question, I taught all levels, and it was enjoyable. So I found my sweet spot with workforce with kids from like 16 to 23, 24 is where I can make the most impact, I feel.
I love that. Good. And so definitely, you know, you're right. I do believe our teachers are underpaid. Here in Las Vegas, it was actually just recently with the Clark County School District announced that they're giving all of the teachers a $7,000 increase with their raise, because they know, you know, they have a very important job. I said one of the most important next to a parent. They're helping to raise your child, whether you realize it or not. And they're the most underpaid, overworked, underpaid. So I was really happy to see that win here in Vegas, most deaf. And so for my final point, for the mind, what you think about, you speak about. What are you filtering in your mind on a daily basis? The point I have is words manifest. Choose them wisely with an expectation of an abundant outcome. What are you saying to yourself? Do you believe in yourself? Do you understand the power of your word? We're co-creators with God. And so when God created the earth, right? He said, let there be light. Did you peep that? He said, he is the creator. We're the co-creator. We're the creation of the creator. And so if he said, let there be light, what are you saying? Because you're a co-creator. What are you manifesting? What are you speaking into your life? There's life and death in the power of your tongue. Are you speaking life into your tribe? Are you bashing them and tearing them down? Are you speaking success over your children? Are you speaking defeat? Those of you who are married, are you building up your husband? Are you praying for him? Are you speaking over him to be the leader and the provider that he needs to be for the family? Or are you tearing him down and stripping him of his manhood? Are you emasculating him? And those of you who are husbands, are you speaking love into your marriage? Or are you making her feel less than? We have the power to create with our words. This is why I'm very cautious what I write, what I say. There's been a lot of times I won't answer you for a while. If I have to really think, I'm going to pray before I speak, because I've understood the power of my words. We have enough going on outside of us, but daggone sure inside of you. What are you winning with in life? Or what are you whining with? You're the winning or whining? I want to give you some words. I want you to write this down. I have five very powerful affirmations that I say on a daily basis. And I want for you to implement this into your daily habits. When you wake up in the morning and you're setting the intent for success, number one, I want you to put, I am worthy of this. I am worthy of this. Every effort, every hurdle that I jump over, every success, I am worthy of this. Did you see how I did that? I didn't say I might be. I didn't say I'm thinking about, and I for daggone set for sure didn't say, I don't know. Oh, that's the worst you could say. When someone asks you something, I love how Dr. Sherman just said, let me look into that and I'll get back to you. I don't know is the worst answer a leader can say, because then if you're confused, but that go sure don't want to follow you. You're going to leave me astray. I want a leader that's confident, that knows where they're going, and if they don't know, they know how to go to God and seek the answer. Are you proclaiming? Are you manifesting? Are you declaring and decreeing in your life? Second one I want you to write down. I am a powerful co-creator. I am a powerful co-creator. Therefore, you have access in heavenly realms to achieve the and then some, to achieve massive miracles. My life didn't start exploding with miracles until I started declaring them. I decided I was going to stop going to God and begging him, because I knew I was joint heirs with Jesus Christ. For those of you who are spiritual and those of you who are not, you can meditate every day. Visualize what is it that you want to see. If you can see it, you can achieve it. See it in your mind first, and then you'll hold it in your hand. The moment that I decided that I was going to be a powerful co-creator, I changed my language and I changed my life. I woke up and I said, I am a successful businesswoman. I am God's walking and talking miracle. I am successful. I am royalty. Whatever it is that you desire, put it out there. Put it out there, and then you say it with a conviction and a passion that's so deep, you shake what's happening around you, and you understand that success is not anything that happens outside of you. Inside of you is what you're going to manifest. And the next one I want you to write down, I will achieve greatness. I will achieve greatness. Stop begging and pleading from a place of lack, and declare and decree from a place of power and abundance and a growth mindset. You want to make sure that you can lead your tribe with a servanthood of excellence. And so you do that by standing in your power and declaring what's yours. All right, so we're going to go ahead and finish up with number four. Dr. Sherman, what you got for us? What you going to close us out with?
Look, we're going to close out with listening, being able to actively listen. A lot of people said, I think you said earlier, speak less, pray more, or worry less, pray more.
Yes.
Another one I've heard is speak less, listen more. A lot of people don't know how to listen. So if you're constantly trying to get your point across, you can turn on any one of these shows and you'll see, it's supposed to be quote unquote talk shows, but it's just a bunch of people talking over top of each other. I can't, that's just a bunch of noise.
Yep.
Now some people thrive in that sort of situation where it's just a whole lot of people talking over each other, but it's gotten to the point now where I need to hear every word you say. Not so that I need clarity in what you're talking about, but also to show you respect that I'm listening to you, I'm not on my phone, I'm looking out the window, I'm not doing other things, twiddling my thumbs, playing with my pen. That's a skill people have to learn, to actively listen, that a lot of people just do not get. I know adults, many of them, who you just can't have a conversation with them, so you know how you categorize people. This is the person that I can confide in. You know, they're going to listen to me. This is a person who I'm not really into like talking about we friends and all of that, but I can't talk to them about much because, first of all, I can't get a word in edgewise, for one. So that person's just going to have less access to you, you know. You're sitting there listening. You're not being able to.
Right.
I mean,
right.
Yeah. So a lot of important things, a lot of good advice, a good strategy could get lost in the sauce or forgotten in the moment in real time because you're not, you know, listening, giving yourself a chance to listen. So making sure that you're actively listening to your tribe and not just pretending to, because you can – some people are good at it. I've got good at it. I can look right at you. Are you talking? I'm looking right at you. I don't hear a word of it because I'm not actively listening or my mind is elsewhere. What you're saying is just not interesting.
Right.
One of the three, okay? But as in a position of leadership, you can't afford to do that. You're going to alienate yourself from your tribe. So making sure that you're actively listening and showing respect, and especially if somebody comes in with a problem or an issue or something, give them your full undivided attention because you would expect that, you know, you would want that from you too. So actively listening, I'll close out on that. I think that if everybody did that, you know, it wouldn't be a lot of yelling and hollering and fussing and cussing. It would just be people cohesively, intelligently working things out, talking to each other, listening to each other, sharing ideas, giving each other room for grace and room to speak. So I think that's important too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's one thing I do not do is drama and hollering and screaming. Oh, no. I will shut it down in a minute.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No. Nope. You know, it takes too much energy. It takes way too much energy. And one thing that's extremely valuable to me is my time. Oh, don't waste my time. Don't waste my time. As a leader, leaders are very, very busy. And I promise you, I don't have a second to waste with hollering and screaming or repeating myself 50 million times. Okay?
Right.
So
somebody
yes.
not listening.
Okay. Constantly. What you say? Can you repeat that for me? One more again? No. No. I'm like this. And that's why I
you should have heard it the first time, you know?
Yeah. They'll be like, just get your phone and record what I got to say because I'm not repeating it, okay?
Right.
But so important that we listen. We have to be able to put ourselves in the position to receive, and that's a part of listening. And, you know, I really, really value and appreciate you saying that because talking over one another is just not it. And neither one of you are being heard, and therefore – to me, that's a form of disrespect. And you want to make sure respect is a mutual thing. We shouldn't be as leaders, you know, I'm the leader, do as I say, not as I do. No, we have to reciprocate that same respect by actively listening. So I definitely appreciate that point, most definitely. And so we are going to go ahead and close out. I was looking to see if we had enough time for Q&A. It doesn't look like we do because we've hit the mark where we're getting ready to close out the show for the live broadcast. But definitely we want to just share with you how important it was for you, those of you who are listening live or even checking out the replay and listening to it. You know, leadership is something that definitely is a very great responsibility. Don't take it lightly. And we just enjoy encouraging you to continue to do what you were called to do. And one thing I want to share, anybody who's just starting out in leadership and you may feel that you're not ready or you're not all together, that's the thing, imposter syndrome, you know, if you're new. I know I battled with that. I don't know about you. Did you go through that too, Dr. Sherman, when you first started your business? I don't know enough. Who's going to listen to me?
Sure did.
Yep.
This is what I have for you. God doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called. So when you're called to leadership, everything you divinely need within you is already there. It's up to you to birth it. Nothing on this earth can be born or birthed without a push. So I want to push you gently. I want to give you a nudge that's going to allow you to open yourself up to a new journey in your life. Feel the fear and do it anyway. Do it anyway, because you were called for greatness. Dr. Sherman, it's been a pleasure having you back again on Brown Sugar Radio. We appreciate you tremendously. If you don't mind, if you can share with my loyal Brown Sugar Radio listeners how they can support you on social media, where can they find you at?
Definitely. I appreciate the opportunity. I had a great time as usual. You can check me out on LinkedIn and Facebook and Instagram at SC Inspires. Check out my Facebook group, Stars Shining Through Adversity Recovery System. Come in and join the group and join the conversation. Also, check out my website, www.scinspires.com. There you can find my leadership services that I offer for your employees or your students, whoever needs empowerment. I come into your place or virtually, and we'll hash it all out and make sure everybody leaves a winner and everybody leaves a leader. You can also check out my books there on the website too, www.scinspires.com. Look out for me this summer on television and radio. I've got some announcements coming up, so stay tuned to my social media on Instagram, SC Inspires, to see all that information too. And thank you again for having me.
Love it, love it. Yes. Well, congratulations on those two big wins with television and radio. That is truly a blessing. And, yes, make sure, loyal listeners, that you do support and show love, like, comment, and share this broadcast with other loved ones, family members, anyone you know who is a leader. A leader doesn't have to be a professional aspect. It could be your grandmother. It could be your mom, you know, your auntie. But the wonderful thing is what we share today can work professionally or personally. That's what I love about leadership. And definitely abundant leadership. So we are going to be back next week. Make sure you keep your calendars locked. We have, get this, hit maker, jazz artist, Kim Scott is coming through next week. Mark your calendars, Brown Sugar Radio, loyal listeners, on June 7th. Yes, I'm talking about chart-topping, Billboard hit-making, Kim Scott. She plays the flute, and she plays my favorite song, Living Your Life Like It's Golden. She has her version. Make sure you Google Kim Scott. Just Google Kim Scott. She's a force to be reckoned with. Can't wait to have her join us next week. So please mark your calendars. Make sure you come back through, show some love for Brown Sugar Radio. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook. Listen, your girl been busy, but I've been posting regular. I'm back. I'm back with Brown Sugar Radio, and we only have maybe 2 or 3 more shows after this, and we'll be closing out season 3. I'll be taking a break, and then I'll be back at it again in August, okay? So definitely, I want for you to also log in and create an account here on Blog Talk Radio so you can be notified when we have shows. If you're not following me, actually, no, follow me on social media, number one, okay? But definitely create an account on Blog Talk Radio so you can get alerts when we go live and reminders, okay? So other than that, Dr. Sherman, did you have any special announcements or any things that's coming up? Anything you want to share as far as any freebies or anything with your business?
Yes. A consultation calls for people and organizations to call. We can talk about things free of charge. We can find out what the problem is and how I may help you. And also look out for my season 2 of my podcast, The Synopsis, where we started off as sort of a political show, and then we got into politics and lifestyle, culture. You know, everything that we're going through, season 2 is going to start. I'm thinking about looking at Father's Day tonight, Sunday nights at 9 p.m.
All right.
So look out for that, too.
Yes.
I'll make announcements on my social media.
Absolutely, yes. Well, I look forward to that. Okay, listen, and that's the wonderful thing about podcasts. You can listen to them anytime, any place, driving, in the shower, at work. You know, you can listen to it all the time. Just feed your mind while you're doing the dishes, cooking, you can chime in. So that's what's up. Definitely when you have your show, I'm going to be listening. I appreciate you so much, okay, my brother? So we're going to go ahead and exit now. Yes. And anyone, please make sure if you have any other questions or comments, you can put it on the podcast, on the actual post on Facebook or Instagram. So we're going to end for the night. I appreciate you all. See you next week. Thank you for tuning in to Brown Sugar Radio, where entertainment and empowerment is extraordinary. Make it a fantastic night.